I want to dive right in. I want to dive right in and look at the half a verse that I felt God wanted me to focus on tonight. Just half a verse. Awesome. Let's see if this thing's working. I don't point it. There we go. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I felt led to explore what it might mean by considering what it is to clothe ourselves in general. I do like to match the physical world to the spiritual world, and so I wondered whether that would relate to clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is verse 14, right at the very end. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here ever wear school uniform in their life? Ever worn school uniform? Most people. I managed to miss that for apart from about 2 years. Yes. Or do you wear a uniform for work? Or just have separate work clothes? Mm-hmm. Well, in the 2 years I had between my A-levels and going to university, I worked in a microbiology laboratory at Barnsley District General Hospital. And, prop number one, we got to wear a lab coat. We had to wear a lab coat. I worked in the bacteriology laboratory rather than the virology laboratory, and I can still remember enough stuff to have a semi-normal conversation with about these things with Fiona, who is consultant microbiologist. I certainly did have separate work clothes because I used to stink of the hospital, of the such strong disinfectant that we use at the end of the day to swab the benches down. You just stank of it. Even if after you'd had a shower, still smelt of the hospital, basically. But our lab coats were not allowed to be worn out of the labs. We weren't even allowed to wear them in the rest of the hospital because, of course, we were highly at risk of being covered in bacteria that vulnerable patients don't want. So this was something that we went to work, we put on, we took off, and then we walked out again. And, you know, that made me think, do we do that with God? Do we come to church, put on Christ, do whatever we're doing here, worship him, whatever, and then take him off just as we walk out the door? I really hope not. I really hope not. Certainly there are other things as well that are like that. Costumes. This is Zoe's Lion King costume from their show. Who else has worn a costume? Because the lab coat is for protection, but costumes are for creating a new identity to hide behind. And this is Natalie's tutu from their dance. Obviously, again, something to be worn on the stage, but not to Morrison's, not normally. So again, something that is put on in a certain place and taken off again. Now this one is a base layer, okay? So it's a sports base layer, and it's the thing you put on first, often for warmth, but then you cover it up. So this is good. This is worn close to the skin for warmth, but then we cover it up. And if we apply that to Christ, do we have Christ close to us? But do we then cover him up with other things? All right, so again, I hope not. Just put that one down there. As I was walking around West Kirby last week, all these ideas coming around my head about clothing, I saw somebody walking by in a replica football kit top. And I was like, oh, that's another one. That's another piece of clothing. Wearing a replica top does not make you a professional footballer. He's not going to be walking up to Anfield or Woodham Park and be allowed on the pitch to play at the weekends. It's just not going to happen. And even my non-Christian brother knows that going to church makes you a Christian about as much as living in a garage makes you a car. Okay? It doesn't. So clearly, whilst the clothes you wear at certain times can help you identify with ideas, the people you're following, and the place that you're in. If we solely apply that idea to clothing ourselves in Christ, I think we've missed something important in what Paul is trying to say. Looking at the passage again, we start from verse 11, and let's see, here we go. This is what he says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." And, where is that? Oh no, I've got back a bit. Sorry, Gordon's beaten me too, hasn't he? "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, I highlighted the phrase put on, which actually makes it very difficult to see now, doesn't it? I'll learn that for next time. And clothe. Put on and clothe. They both come from the same Greek word, which, funnily enough, means to put on or clothe. But it's the same Greek word that's used. So Paul was meaning the same thing, that when we put on the armor of light and we clothe ourselves in Christ, it's the same thing. It's a choice. We have to choose to put those on. And Paul isn't talking about, he's not talking about the clothes we wear. He's talking about the attitudes and the actions and the words we use. And Jesus himself said, oh, there we go, missed something out. Jesus himself said that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And Paul also is talking about this kind of thing back in chapter 10, where he says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we put on clothes, when we take off our nighttime clothes, because I'm fairly certain that none of us are stood here wearing the clothes we were sleeping in last night. Might be a risky one. Some of you maybe. No judgment here. But if we don't take things off, this is what we'll end up looking like. Joey covered in all of Chandler's clothes. We have to take things off before we put things on. Does that make sense? Just clothe ourselves with the Lord. There we go. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If we clothe ourselves in Christ, we have to remove the things of darkness, the things of the sinful nature first. Now, Paul expands on it a bit more at the beginning of Colossians chapter 3. Here we go. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these." And for me, this is the list that gets me. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And here's the bit. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And let's just go back to the key bit. So Paul in Romans is just telling us to clothe ourselves in Christ. It's in his letter here to Colossians, he expands. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And guess what? That Greek word for clothe is exactly the same one that he's used in Romans, to put on. We choose to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. They're not just there. We have to choose to do those things. And then key to everything, absolutely key to everything, is love. It's just love. John tells us in his first letter that God is love. There you go, chapter 4, verse 16. And the part of us that we most associate with love is our heart. So how are our hearts today? The timing of this sermon isn't lost on me, that last week Dan was talking about being relevant, being in the world but not of the world, and now this week, clothing ourselves in Christ, being Christ-like, whilst we've also, as a church, spent time fasting and praying about how God wants to develop the vision to grow a relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. And yesterday, the elders and staff spending the day weighing all that's been shared. And as we wait to hear of the fruit from all of that, we can still be working on ourselves, on our own relationship with God, on our own hearts. I don't know if you've seen Westworld. Anybody seen Westworld? Right, two people. I figured as much. But Westworld is there's a current series based on the same film by Michael Crichton that was done in the 70s with Yul Brynner in a big black hat and crazy robots everywhere. Anybody seen that? All right, so the essence is that you have a world of robots so you can go visit like a theme park and do whatever and whatever and whatever. But the people building these robots are trying to make them as lifelike as human and possible. And one of this is a quote from there. It says, the cornerstone, so each robot has a cornerstone, a key thing in their story that they build their identity around. So they've kind of created these sentient robots, but they give them a backstory. And the thing that comes out of it is that actually pain is the thing that helps them the most to identify with something. So, but when I was catching up, because there's a new series coming in a year, and I was just re-watching the old one, and this just struck me. The cornerstone is the thing around which they build their identity. So what is your cornerstone in your life? Because we know that Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone. Is he the thing around which you build your identity? If there is anger in our heart, how can God reside there with it unless we get rid of the anger first? Do we choose our pain? Because I know when, having been through times of feeling numb, sometimes pain is a feeling. And actually, sometimes I know in the past I've hung on to pain because it was better to feel something than nothing. But actually, we're called to release that, to allow God to heal, to forgive the people who have hurt us. Do we choose pain over that life of joy in the Lord that we can have by releasing the pain to him and by forgiving the people who have hurt us? They're hard questions. Will we allow God to work in us and through us to love our community out there? Because it's what we're called to do. If we clothe ourselves in Christ and love them and serve them without ever asking anything or expecting anything in return, I believe that is what we are called to do. When we started the intercessory prayer group, one of the first few weeks, we were kind of challenged. I think it was Debbie that really brought that kind of prayer to God, will you break our hearts with the things that break yours? And I kind of like, when I heard that, I was like, okay, God. I really had to psych myself up to say yes to that, because my expectation was that it would hurt, that I would end up feeling the pain that God feels by all whatever's going on out there. And I didn't, at the end of the meeting, I went home and I wasn't feeling particularly different. It wasn't till the next day, and this is God's grace to me in my analogy between the physical world and the spiritual world. The very next day, I'm sat in my lounge that afternoon, and Natalie had a cushion that needed sewing up. And it was perfect time. I went, bring me a cushion to sew up. So I'm sat there sewing this cushion up. And God just kind of saying, will you look at what you're doing? And this cushion was heart-shaped, and it was broken. And I sat there mending this physical heart. But all I felt was love. And God just made me understand that it wasn't about what's going on out there breaking his heart in sadness. It's about what's going on in here. His love breaking out to the people out there. I just totally turned it around from what I expected. That actually we're called to just love these people and to break our hearts with his love. He doesn't call us to do it on our own. We're to close ourselves with Christ, with his love. I believe that God wants to meet you in a new way tonight. There's no ministry team. And when I was thinking during the week, I'm kind of like, God, I feel like I know what you want to do. And when I realized there's no ministry team, I thought, well, no wonder you're talking to me about this, because I'm seeking you, and there's not going to be a team there doing that. God is always doing new things. Isaiah says, see, I am doing a new thing. Can't you perceive it? I don't think there's any one of us here that can say that we know God well enough to stop trying to make the effort to get to know him better. I think all of us have got something we can lay down to being able to receive. We've got some kind of clothing of the deeds of darkness, of the anger. Even this morning, because God, sermon to myself, as Louise always says, is actually, dare I confess, do I have to confess? Because I did actually deal with it this morning. God said, well, are you going to deal with it now so you can speak to these people? And actually, it's my language. Actually, being a passionate person, I blame it on that. When I get, sometimes the words that come out of this mouth are not good. And God was saying, you have to deal with that. I said, okay, Lord, because there's a root. It's one of those things, the nearer to Christ I am, the better my language is. And that's not, you won't hear it because I can hold myself together. It's when you're at home, isn't it? It's always when we're at home. So I believe we've all got things that we can let go of in order to receive a new layer of Christ's love. Jesus said, how will people know that you're my disciples if you love one another? We're called to be a people in love, and that's how we clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, strength, and soul, and love our neighbours as ourselves, all the law is fulfilled. He says in verse 8, Romans, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So tonight, all I want to do is encourage you to respond to God. I was cleaning my bathroom yesterday, and I let it slide for a bit. And it's like, and God was, even then, cleaning my bathroom, I'm kind of like, you know what, Lord, if I'd just wiped it once a week, it wouldn't have got this mucky and this bad. And it's like the washing of the disciples' feet. You know, Peter's instant response was, wash all of me. And Jesus said, no, you don't need everything washing, just the bits that get mucky, but you need to keep doing it. We always need to keep doing it. And what I want to give you now is a response to do that, a chance to do that. I feel full of faith to pray for whoever wants prayer. And I want to encourage you to come out as a response to God. What I've given you is a brick. The brick that you have, I want you to think about the things that you need to put down. And give you the chance, because I know not everybody wants to come and be prayed for, and whatever happens, some people need to do that on their own in their own time. But I really wanted some kind of response. So if you think of the brick as representing the thing that you really want to give to God and say, no more of this, Lord, this stops here. Bring the brick, drop it in the basket, and take another brick. And there's a red cornerstone. So the idea is that you get rid of the thing you need to get rid of, take that off, pick up a new brick, and place it in line with the cornerstone. In with Jesus, just as a symbolic response to wanting to do that. If you want to actually deal with it and have prayer, then come. There's ministry team people here. We have to clothe ourselves in love. I'll pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, we invite you here now. Lord, touch our hearts, because it is our heart, our mouths overflow from our hearts, Lord. They just have to overflow with love. Oh, Lord, I pray for each one of us here and anyone who's listening online, because I know I've listened to enough online things that actually you are there too, right at that point. Lord, you are here with us now. We invite you in. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, but Lord, equip us with your love. Amen.